What a privilege that we can enter into God's presence, like freely enter into His presence. It's not a given, you know. It's like we're not born that way, that we can freely enter into His presence, but He made it available to us and never to be taken for granted. I was just reminded of that this morning as we worship. Like, we must really, we're privileged. We must just really never let, like, forget that. So we've worshiped together. We've broken bread together. Another thing we can do together that we should be doing together, it's a command, is we should read scripture together. We should read the word together. So I want to start with reading the word this morning. I've got Ephesians 2. It's one of my favorite scriptures, and it actually fits in everything we've done this morning. So it's up on the board, so if you want to follow in your own Bible, that's also good. This is the ESV. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This disobedience is going to fall over my words here. And that's exactly that. Right? That there's a course that the world follows, and we were on that. And God intervened. We'll see that just now. We were dead. Among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's who we were. And then the next, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us. And I just want a couple of words, like rich in mercy. God has got an immeasurable, it's going on later, saying immeasurable richness of mercy. There's no end to it. He can just keep on giving mercy. He's not going to stop, ever. Being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us up with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? Immeasurable. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. Nothing we do. So that we cannot boast. No one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to stop there. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And for me, Ephesians 2 up to that point really is a summary of who we were, what God has done for us, and then what we can do for Him, what we go on. And isn't it, it's amazing. It's in a small little portion of a chapter that all is just in summary, that we were dead in our trespasses. But now, because God made us alive, we can actually come into His presence. We can worship Him. And He has prepared good works for us to do. So I thought it would be good to tell you a story this morning. Not that I can read on that page without glasses. Let's see. Huh, Stefan? After 45 it happened. What was it, anyone? Oh, after 50, my wife says. So somebody met up with us this week and they said, we thought you were older. I am older. I'm 51 this year. 52 this year, sorry. See, I can't even count anymore. It's going. So, but I have a coffee machine, just saying. Like that one. But the grinder still works. Yes, just saying for the youth. Yeah, no, definitely. I thought I'd tell you a bit of a story of a journey that I've been on in Josh Jen. Like, how did I end up in Oudtshoorn? How did the Brandt family end up here this morning and going to stay here for a long time with you guys? So I thought I'd start with Liesl and I met her in Johannesburg, and then I moved there, got married, and we moved back down to Cape Town as soon as we possibly could. And one morning we went down to the beach before we had kids. And yeah, you don't go down to the beach when you have kids. And we met up with Monet van der Walt. You guys know who Monet van der Walt is. He was sitting in his car with a guy called Cassie, and they were waiting for Gary Smarry, who now lives in Jay Bay. They were waiting for him to finish kite surfing. And they were sitting in their car. We pulled up next to them. And I knew Monet from a previous church that we both went to. Were you ever in the lighthouse? No. Yeah, you had friends in the lighthouse. But so we pulled up next to him, and we got out, and we were just there for the beach for a couple of moments. And then, yeah, here's Monet in his car. We started chatting to him, and I've never seen guys kite surf. And he said, no, they're waiting for another guy. And then he said, what church do you go to? And I said, no, we're looking for a church. We moved back from Joburg. He said, how long have you been here? Oh, a couple of months, but we're looking for a church. He said, okay, but we've gone to a church called Josh Jen. Come down. We meet there and there. Sunday mornings, or Sunday afternoons it was. And I said, no, but Monet, you must understand, you know, I need a church that's like this and like this. And I had a list, the length of my arm, what the church must be. Because I'm over playing church, and I'm over church that doesn't work for me. And I want a church that's going to fill all the boxes that the church needs to fill. It's the worship's got to be great. There's got to be the word that's got to be preached properly and accurately. Everything must be there. And Monet just kept on saying, ach, you know what, just come. Just come to Josh Jen, it's fine. Just whatever. Liesl loves going to church, always has. So she was like, yes, let's go. I'm like, no, honey, man. I've been to church. I'm disillusioned with this playing church thing. I don't want to just, I'll think about it. It took us about 2 weeks, and we visited Josh Jen. They were in the Labyrinth, Finico Kirk's wall back then, about 50 people, 40, 50 people. Now, 18, 19 years ago. Yeah, it was about 20 years ago now. Yeah. So we went, we visited, and I think it was during worship that we looked at one another and went, this is home. We can stay here. And we did stay. And I don't think we've missed many services since then in Josh Jen. Maybe when we were on holiday, we've missed in the last 20 years. And the next thing, people were in our house having meals, and we were in other people's homes having meals. And we went on outreaches and things, and we went to NCMI conferences in Bloemfontein, and life just started happening around church, and we all of a sudden had many friends, which we didn't have in Cape Town. We had like a handful of friends, and all of a sudden we had 40 friends. And then the church started growing, and we had 80 friends. I think that happened in like a year, from 40 to 80. It was like crazy what happened. And we were added into a family, and not just friends. Those people actually became family. And most of them are still around. Now spread out. Monet is one. He's in Mossel Bay. Steve Corkill, I think you might know him. They were the first guys with kids in the church. Russell was there. When did you guys join? 2006. 2000. So, it's around. So many people have been joined into the church, and now there are 36 congregations in Josh Gen. And those 80 people that were there are spread out over those congregations. One of them going to Mauritius. He's running a church in Mauritius. He hasn't even moved there yet. It's amazing what God has done. But so how did I end up here in Oudtshoorn? Well, Kim Miller came to us and said, listen, an opportunity has arisen to go lead a church of your own. Because I've been leading this church and leading that congregation. Like I was like the caretaker leader across Cape Town for a while. Every time somebody goes on leave, I get to lead the church for a while. A little funny story is every time I get to lead a congregation, COVID hits and then I shut it down. It's like, I really hope when I come in 2 weeks, we don't have to stop meeting. Like really, that will not be funny. But every time somebody went on leave last year and they're like, okay, you're going to lead here. And it's like, Andrew phones me, we're shutting it down. It's like, no more meetings. I'm like, oh, come on. So at least I'm getting one preach in, yeah. Kim Miller came to us and said, there's an opportunity that's arisen and you can go lead Oudtshoorn and Stefan's going to go do other things and teach me how to preach better. And preach in the region. And he's such a gift to all of us. And I need to fill his shoes, big shoes to fill, I think. I'm not growing a beard. Just saying, I'm not growing a beard. This is just lazy thingy. It doesn't go further than this, okay? But we looked at each other, Liesl and I, and we said yes. And we were immediately excited. I don't know why, but we were. We were filled with an excitement to come here and become part of this and just grow something of God and the kingdom. It's not something I can actually explain why it's there. I'm just really excited to be here and lead and build with you guys. And that's God. That is God. Because I've lived in Melpos for 16 years. And we've built there. We've got deep roots. I know everybody. I was there first. Really. Like everybody else in Melpos came after me. In the congregation. Joined the congregation. And we're some of the like furniture around there. But God happened and he broke into our world and made us excited to come to Oudtshoorn. So to get back to the story of with Monet and them is God was my savior for a long time. Jesus was my savior for a long, long time before I came to Josh Gen, before I met up with Monet at the beach. But he wasn't my Lord. So I'd accepted that Jesus died for me on the cross. And that to me was good. But don't tell me what to do. I wanted to tell the church what to do. So I had this long list of what the church must do for me and how it should be so that I could accept the church. And when God joined me to a family of people and when God joined me into his body for real and I was grafted into something that is his family. And it's not just Josh Gen. We don't have the answer. We're part of the answer. But God added me into Josh Gen and cemented me into the body and gave me stuff to do. Good works, it says at the end, that he's prepared good works for us to do. And he gave me a place where I could actually live out that and start doing good things for others and with others. And through that process, God became the Lord of my life. And that is an amazing thing to say, that I can say God is the Lord of my life. Didn't only save me, I can't just get into his presence because I'm his child. He also rules my life. And when he said to me through the mouth of Kim Miller and the rest of the directing elders, and he spoke to them first. He spoke to them first. He didn't speak to me first this time. But when they said it, I knew it was God speaking. And that's why we're filled with excitement to come. Because we can still be led by God and his spirit. And that excites me. That excites me that God can break into my life and I'm going there. I've got plans. I'm going to build onto the house that I'm renting and I'm doing this and the next thing in Malpos. And we have all these things that we think we plan. And then God goes, I'm going to direct your ways. There's your promised land, Otsuren. And that must be exciting that God does this. And the interesting thing in Ephesians in the beginning, it says we used to walk according to the desires of our flesh and our minds. But in Romans 10, if you put that up, Romans 10 verse 9. Who are those people that God made alive? How do you know that you're one of us? That we those people that are made alive? Romans 10, I think, says it. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It speaks about the heart all of a sudden. You know it in your heart. And there might be many things today that we don't get, that we don't understand about God. How does he do this? How does that work? We might even disagree about some stuff with our minds, but with our hearts, I know that Jesus died for me, that he was raised from the dead for me, and that I am made alive in him. And when I confess, what? When I confess that he is Lord over my life with my mouth, when I say those words, God says, now you're truly saved.